You're listening to the Way of Truth broadcast coming from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we are thankful that you are a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our service a blessing to you.
I am found in
Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And we're thankful for the privilege of sharing your gospel with this precious people today. Wherever this broadcast service is being heard, we pray the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each and to every heart. I know that you love everyone, you care for everyone, and we pray that you'll bless our precious congregation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Without spot and blameless, O Savior, what a glorious church thou hast built. For this town, its nation, its suffered.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in the holy hill? That's Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. However, before we go further in this text, I'd like to call your attention to Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Now, we understand that the tabernacle and the holy hill to be speaking of the church of God. And there are conditions, as we find in Psalm 15, that must be met to enter into the church of God. And those conditions must be met not only as to enter the church, but to remain there. In Psalm 15, in beginning with the first verse, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And the psalmist goes on then to inform us as to who. We are told in verse 2, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. So there are conditions to be met to enter the church of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And we are told in the scriptures that we must work righteousness. We read in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So the psalmist says here in the 15th Psalm, when he asks the question, who shall abide in my tabernacle, and who shall dwell in my holy hill? He answers to begin with, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Now, I know that there are multitudes of religious people who do not believe that we can live a life free from sin, but you are not living a righteous life unless you are living free from sin. And that's why Jesus came into this world. The angel told Joseph that Mary would bear a son. They would call his name Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins, not in them, but from them. So to be a part of the family of God, we must not only be born again, but to remain in the family of God, we must live a righteous life and speak the truth in our heart. Now we go on here in Psalm 15, verse 3, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, to attack the character or reputation of a person who is not present, is to backbite, to speak unfavorably or slanderously of a person who is not present, is to backbite, to say mean or spiteful things about one who is not present is also backbiting. And we are told that nor does evil to his neighbor. harmful or injurious, hateful, offensive things. You do not reproach a friend who is a true friend indeed, who is living and treating you right. So, if we're going to be a part of the family of God and live righteously, we are not going to be a backbiter, and we're not going to reproach our friend or speak evil of him. Now, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, to treat or regard with contempt, scorn, have no use for, unworthy of regard, I think the proper attitude for a Christian would be directed to a person who evil and sinful ways and not the person. We're talking now about the Psalm 4. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. So a person who is going to abide in God's tabernacle, in God's church, can hate sin. He must hate sin, because the Bible tells us that we are to eschew evil. But in hating sin, we are not to hate the person. We are to love the person. And so the psalmist here says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Now he that keeps his word, in other words, he can be depended upon because he changeth not. He speaks the truth and he does not change from one person to another. You can depend upon what he says. He that does not take advantage of others is also mentioned here in this psalm, and we are not to take advantage of another. We are to treat them properly and right. And we are told here that the person is not to put out his money in usury. Now, the word usury in our day and time means an extreme charge of interest. A person who is living right, living pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God, will not do that. Now, in Old Testament Israel, the ancient Israelite was not allowed to charge his fellow Israelite any charge or interest at all. But he was allowed to charge a stranger or a non-Hebrew. He could charge them interest, but when he come to his fellow Israelite, fellow Hebrew, he could not charge them interest at all, let alone usury. Now, the Bible teaches that they can, the Lord charges. Did you know that? Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy viticles for increase. That's Leviticus 25, 36, and 37. And he was, now notice this verse from Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 31. If a man will at all redeem aught of his tithe, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. That's Leviticus chapter 27 and 31. And what it is saying is, if you're going to take the tithe that you belong to the Lord and borrow some of it and use it for your own use, then you are to add a 20% to that, whether it be actual money or whether it be grain that you have harvested and owe a tenth to the Lord, whatever the tenth might be that belongs to the Lord, if you take it and use it for your own use, then when you go to pay your debt, then you must add 20% to that. But when it comes to a stranger, that you can charge him interest, but not usury. He that doeth these things, the psalmist said, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. He will abide in the church of God forever. So we must obey the word of God. We must apply it to our own hearts and life and live it out as the psalmist has taught here in this 15th psalm. Not only the 15th psalm, but the entire word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And James said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. And Solomon, the wise man, said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, which is the whole duty of man. Now God has provided a way for us to obey his word and to live a righteous life. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not in self, not in self-confidence, but in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And beloved, he is indeed a wily foe. Paul said he would even transform himself into an angel of light to deceive the very elect, if possible. And Paul goes on here in Ephesians chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice these different things that Paul said we were to arm ourselves so that we would be able to stand. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting a literal battle. We're not fighting a person, but we are fighting the evil forces that's in the world that would try to defeat us. And we can do so by we can overcome him by putting on the whole armor of God. And we read here that we are to do just that. Wherefore, take unto thee the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, not false doctrine, not false teaching, but with the truth. Have your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. There's that word, righteousness again. And we are to live righteous. And if we put on the blessed breastplate of righteousness, we will indeed live righteous. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The reason many people are not able to live in peace with others is because they don't have their shoes on. I'm not talking about literal shoes. I'm talking about the shoes that the Apostle Paul is speaking about here when he said, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of peace. And Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. So have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Many people don't know how to use the sword. And I'm not talking about a literal sword either. I'm talking about the Word of God and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what Jesus used on the devil, as recorded in Matthew chapter 4, those notable three temptations that Satan brought against him. Jesus used the Word of God and defeated him in every temptation. And then Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The Bible tells us men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I have said many times, to live a victorious life, we must have a victorious prayer life. So praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Now, this psalm of David that I have used today, Psalm 15, asks the question, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And he proceeds to answer these two questions by giving us instructions. He teaches us, the Bible teaches us, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And he that endureth to the end shall be eternally saved. There is more to Christianity than just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a life to live. Again, James said, be ye doers of the word and not hearing only. James also said that we are to have pure religion and we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Our Father, we do thank you for the privilege of sharing these scriptures and thoughts with our precious congregation today. And we trust the Holy Spirit will be able to use them to make them a blessing to hearts. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to invite you to write us. It would be an encouragement to us to know. And our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. And our web page address, www.truth.net. www.wayoftruth.org. We invite you to be with us in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. The evening service at 6, Wednesday evening service at 7. www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us next week when we bring you another Way of Truth broadcast.
We have heard.